We're joined now by Slate.com's legal analyst, Dahlia Lithwick. And Dahlia, can you tell us what was the legal basis for the Supreme Court decision today?
Alex, the reasoning was so fractured that it's actually not at all clear how the court arrived at the decision they did. Essentially, they split 4-4. Justice Alito was not participating in this case, so there were only 8 justices. They split 4-4 on the rationale for cutting back the punitive damages, but Justice David Souter, writing for the majority of the court, said that as a matter of maritime common law, the $2.5 billion award was simply too high and had to be brought back in line with the $500 million in compensatory damages. There were all sorts of other claims floating around about whether the Clean Water Act barred the award or maritime law. We'll never know. It was just a matter of maritime common law. That's what Justice Souter said.
So, Dahlia, this is definitely a victory, nor the way of parsing this for Exxon.
This is truly a devastating loss for the more than 32,000 local fishermen, cannery workers, business owners who'd been waiting, who brought suit and been waiting 20 years to have this question of punitive damages resolved. They say that the economic, environmental damage that they have suffered, in effect, they live in a ghost town now, is just devastating. And in fact, 20% of the people in the class, in the original class, are now dead. That's how long it's been. So this has been just a dark, dark day for them. There's no way to construe this as a win.
So what does this mean, Dahlia, for other lawsuits against corporations? Does it mean that punitive damages will be limited in future lawsuits?
This is, as I said, Madeline, this was decided on a common law maritime law basis. This was a very, very narrow, narrow case that really had to do with a very finite set of circumstances here today.
Dahlia, the court handed down another major decision today, striking a Louisiana law that allowed the state to execute child rapists for their crimes. What can you tell us about that case?
Louisiana is one of 5 states, Alex, that had passed a law providing for murder in non-homicide rape cases. In this case, if the child that was the victim was under the age of 13. The defendant in this case, Patrick Kennedy, was convicted of in fact, raping gruesomely his 8-year-old stepdaughter. The question for the court was whether non-homicide rape can be a capital offense, given that nobody has been executed for a non-capital crime since 1964, and the trend has been to really narrow the reach of capital punishment in this country over the last couple of decades, not to broaden it. The court, in a 5-4 decision authored by Justice Anthony Kennedy, the famous swing justice, with the 4 more liberal justices signing off, essentially struck down the law and said the Eighth Amendment bans cruel and unusual punishment, and to kill someone for a crime which did not result in the death of a child or was not intended to result in the death of the child simply violates that ban on cruel and unusual punishment.
I read that there were victim advocates who warned that the death penalty in these cases could actually do more harm than good. Can you explain the reasoning there?
And this was something that Justice Kennedy picked up in his opinion today. He said that there were systematic concerns in the prosecutions of child rape, end quote, that made this really a worry for child advocates. There's, first of all, the added risk of kids getting confused. He says they're not in a moral position to make those kinds of decisions about what happened to them or what they could say. There was an enormous concern that children would not report child rapes, particularly in the case of a family member who was the defendant, because they would be so afraid of the consequence if the consequence includes the death penalty. Finally, there was a real concern, and Justice Kennedy discusses this also in his opinion, if you allow for the execution of child rapists, you create a very strong incentive for the rapist to murder his victim, and therefore there'll be no witnesses. And all of these things really played a part in Justice Kennedy's thinking today.
And how does today's decision affect the use of the death penalty in other crimes that don't involve murder?
Justice Kennedy was careful to say that this was had to do with crimes against individuals, that you couldn't have a non-homicide crime against an individual punishable by death penalty. He does, however, leave the door open, he says, for cases of treason and espionage, not individual crimes, but larger crimes that may still be punishable by the death penalty.
And so, Dahlia, this is the final week for the Supreme Court to issue its decisions. Today, obviously, a big day for 2 big decisions. And tomorrow, well, it's the last day. And what do we have in store for us?
There are three decisions remaining to come down. Everybody pretty much agrees they'll all come down tomorrow, Madeline. And, of course, the one we're all holding our breath about is the Second Amendment gun case. It's a challenge to the District of Columbia's very, very broad handgun ban. All the smart money now is saying that it looks, based on the assignments of the other cases, that Justice Antonin Scalia, one of the court's most conservative justices, will be writing that opinion tomorrow. I'm not telling you to run to your bookie, but I'm saying it looks like that's where it's headed. Certainly that suggests that there's going to be a majority of the court that says there is, in fact, a personal individual right under the Second Amendment to bear arms.
And so a personal individual right as opposed to the idea that the Second Amendment was written for state militias to bear arms. Right.
That's right. For the past few decades, the courts had commonly accepted the principle that this was not a right that flowed to individuals, but to state militias. It looks as though, following tomorrow's decision, that will no longer be the case.
Dahlia Lithwick of Slate.com, our legal analyst, will check back in with you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks, Madeline. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Dahlia.